The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome into First Take. Hope you all had a fabulous weekend. Thank you for hanging with us. A wonderful holiday. Stephen A. Smith, Max Kellerman, I'm Molly Karam Rose. And gentlemen, I must confess, so I usually watch Red Zone, my former colleague Scott Hansen, for the games, but I had to watch Brady and Mahomes in full, sat there the whole time. And at the end, it got a little tight, Max Kellerman. I thought Brady was going to get the job done, but he didn't. Tom, talk
what
to me.
What happened?
Left ourselves a big deficit to start, got off to a slow start, couldn't convert any third downs. Just poor execution early and get behind and players got to do a better job. We got to make the plays that are there.
Everybody tried to hand us the Lombardi Trophy in August. You just don't throw guys out there with names. You got to practice. You got to learn to get in sync with each other. That takes time.
Stephen A., let me ask you this. Was it Brady who cost the Bucs a win?
No, it was not. And by the way, as an aside, Molly, before we get the show started, I told you last week about the yellow. It's slamming. Way to go. Now, let me get to this football game
yesterday. Just for you, Stephen A., thanks.
Okay. I appreciate it. But here's the deal, okay? When we look at yesterday, we can sit up there, we can point the finger at Tom Brady all we want to. I would say to you the name Carlton Davis. You ever heard of that name, Max Kellerman? Ever heard of that name? He would happen to be the cornerback for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers that was lined up opposite Tyreek Hill. Okay? Tyreek Hill, a 75-yard bomb. Tyreek Hill, another touchdown where he backflips into the end zone, showing nothing but utter disrespect for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Tyreek Hill, who had 203 receiving yards in the first quarter. And oh, by the way, not only was that a problem, you sort of felt so sorry for Carlton Davis. Why? Because Bruce Arians and Todd Bowles never decided to double up on Tyreek Hill. Never decided to make sure you had help on the safety over the top. You put this brother in single coverage. I don't know if anyone has noticed, but DeAndre Hopkins, Julio Jones, and anybody else you want to mention, they studs, Michael Thomas, all big-time studs. Tyreek Hill's the best wide receiver in football. In case somebody missed it, he's the best wide receiver in football. He's the fastest. He's got great hands. He's strong as a bull. And let me tell you something right now. He's leading everybody in yards. Put on an absolute clinic. Todd Bowles, I don't know what the hell they were thinking about not doubling up, not having help from the safety over the top, doing something, playing a zone defense on other occasions against these brothers. Makes no sense whatsoever. But that is what happened. And that is why this is not on Tom Brady. Certainly, he got outplayed because Patrick Mahomes had 359 yards passing in the first half, okay? But the bottom line is, you look at it, and it was that defense of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers that did not show up. I don't know what Bruce Arians and Todd Bowles were thinking.
Oh, my God. Here come the excuses. This is ridiculous. Let me tell you whose fault it was. It was Patrick Mahomes' fault that the Bucs lost. Patrick Mahomes, who basically ended the game in the first quarter. No, Brady couldn't make that up late. It was too much. They the first quarter, he and Tyreek Hill, yes, they put on a show. I guess if it's not Patrick Mahomes' fault, I guess it's Bruce Arians' fault, right? Like, that's the reason they lost. So since they only have one loss, and Mahomes does this to the whole league and avenged the team that beat them, right? I guess it's all the coaches' faults. Every time Mahomes and the Chiefs play someone, it's the other coach's fault. If only they would have done X, Y, or Z, they could have stopped Mahomes. Really? You want to go there? Let me explain something to you. Right now, I've been straight up the whole time. This season was about, was it more Brady or Belichick? It's one of the great sports debates in the history of American sports. More Brady or Belichick? Oh, we're about to find out. And what I say early on, I said, I have to admit it. Brady's got weapons, but he knows what to do with them. He looks good using them. He has not fallen off the cliff. And I question, Is this the first time in 20 years we can ask, is Belichick actually still the best coach in the NFL? Remember, I asked that out loud. I didn't say, no, he's not. But I said, we could actually start asking that question. Right now, Brady looks better than Belichick. He set it up to look better than Belichick. He left Belichick without a quarterback, right? Belichick wanted to go to Garoppolo. Brady went to Kraft, had Garoppolo shipped out of town. So he set it up for himself. Brady's going to look better. But nevertheless, I was just straight up and down. Yup, Brady looks better. Who looks better right now? Who is it? What's going on right now? Belichick is now a single game under 500, three quality wins on the season against really good teams, two plays away from being a couple games over 500 with nothing. No defense, no offense, nothing. Fewer weapons than Brady had last year. An injury recovering comeback and quarterback in a new system. One game under 500. Brady's got an embarrassment of riches. Stephen A., you're talking about because Bruce Arians isn't perfect? No one's perfect. You know who Belichick is? He's Floyd Mayweather. Floyd used to say, don't make no mistakes, because Floyd would make fewer mistakes than the other guy. That's Belichick. Brady doesn't have that anymore. Now he has a regular coach. Bruce Arians is good, but he's a regular coach. And you want to blame yesterday on Bruce Arians? No, no, no. No, the difference in the game was Mahomes. And if you switched quarterbacks, obviously the Bucs would have won.
Well, first of all, this isn't a history class from Columbia. Damn sure ain't a sports history class. The question was, did Tom Brady cost the Buccaneers a win yesterday? And we're talking about yesterday. And yesterday, what did we witness? When Tyreek Hill caught a 75-yard touchdown pass, Max Kellerman, he waited, turned around, backpedaled, okay? This is what happened, okay? If you're watching this guy, you got him in single coverage. You don't have anybody on him. He's literally waiting for the football. Patrick Mahomes flung it with all his might. And still, Tyreek Hill was so fast and so wide open, he had to stand there, take pictures, say, Max, Molly, Stephen A., please don't forget to talk about me in the morning before he caught the damn ball. That's how much time he had. That's how much space he had between him and Carlton Davis. That's how wide open he was. Yeah, it helped that Sammy Watkins returned from his hamstring injury for the first time since week 5. That was an additional weapon that Bowles and Bruce Arians had to worry about. Travis Kelce. By the way, Tyreek Hill is the number one receiver in football. Travis Kelce is right behind him at number 2 from the tight end spot. Patrick Mahomes is a stud. Nobody's debating that. He's phenomenal, great, all of those things we say. But in the end, I'm talking about yesterday. Just look at Tampa's defense. They had no answer whatsoever. And that was the reason they got the 24th ranked defense against the pass. They're not that great.
Tyreek Hill is a bad dude. So is Travis Kelce. The baddest man on the planet is Patrick Mahomes. I mean, like, that's actually the baddest dude. Who's most responsible? Patrick Mahomes. More than either coach, more than any of the quarterbacks or position skills players. The 30-touchdown, 2-interception guy, the Super Bowl MVP after he won MVP guy, that dude was most responsible. Let me ask you something, Stephen A. At the end of that game, when the Bucs were coming back on them, was that Brady doing that? Was that Brady doing that? Because it seems to me, when the things aren't going well, it's Bruce Arians' fault. And then when things are going well, it's Tom Brady's credit. Is that how it works? I'm just curious. When they were coming back, was that good Brady? Was that good Arians?
I'm answering it. You asked the question. Did you ask the question? I thought you asked the question. I'm going to give you an answer. Sometimes it is and sometimes it isn't. If I'm watching a football game, I mean, Max, I'll answer the question in this form by giving you the question, by giving it right back to you. Did you see how open these damn receivers, Tyreek Hill specifically, did you see how open he was? How wide open he was?
So that was bad Arians, right? Okay, fine. So Steve, that's bad Arians, okay? You can't single cover Tyreek Hill. Do you double Tyreek Hill or not?
Do you double Tyreek Hill or not?
You have to. You have no choice. You have to. He's a return specialist originally. Who can catch? No, they didn't. So, Stephen A., is that bad Arians? That's bad Arians. Let's agree, okay? So, is it good Arians later in the game when the Bucs come back on them? Is that good Arians? Does that get mixed in, or is that all Brady? Because if that's bad Arians, then later in the game when the offense is working and the defense clamps down, that's got to be good Arians, right? Or does the credit go somewhere else?
That's fine, but what I'm saying is they came back, but you still needed a defense to try and stop them so they could get the ball back. It was 27-24 with 4 minutes left, and they couldn't get the ball back because the defense couldn't stop them.
All right, fellas, we're going to have a lot We're going to have a lot more on this later because there was a lot of firsts yesterday. There's been a lot of firsts in 2020, including our Giants, by the way, Max, that are in first place. But I'm going to focus on another first, and that would be the Broncos. I think we've officially seen it all this year, who are forced to play without a quarterback due to COVID. Practice squad receiver Kendall Hinton, who played quarterback 3 years at Wake Forest before changing positions. Vic Fangio.
Well, I was disappointed on a couple levels in that our quarterbacks put us in this position, that our quarterbacks put the league in that position. You know, we count on them to be the leaders of the team and, you know, leaders of the offense. And those guys made a mistake, and that is disappointing. You know, obviously I haven't done a good enough job of selling the protocols to them, you know, when they're on their own. So, you know, part of that could fall on me.
A practice squad receiver played quarterback, Max Kellerman. Was it unfair to make the Broncos play like this?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Stephen A. has brought this up all the time, right, over the last several months. Who didn't want the bubble? Who resisted it? If players are saying, no, we don't want to go into a bubble, we're going to exercise personal responsibility, then these are the risks you take. If everyone was on the IR, right, and they were just missing a lot of players because of that, would they have to play the game? Or if you don't want to play the game, forfeit the game. That's fine. You can forfeit the game. That's your right. But that's going to be an L. If you, like, your only chance to try to win that game, they don't need to reschedule it, nothing like that, is play and win or take your loss. Hold that L. That's how it goes, right? I mean, like, this is, Stephen A., this is not that complicated. I know it sounds harsh, but you want to get through the season? Yes or no? We're playing football in the middle of a highly contagious and tricky, you know, disease, a pandemic. So these are the risks you take. And by the way, did someone break protocol in the quarterback room, right, on the Broncos? So hold on a second. It comes down to personal responsibility. If you're the players, you don't exercise any or enough, and then there's a COVID outbreak, you're missing players. The other team should have to forfeit, should have to postpone. No. You play the game, take your lumps, move on. The only way you postpone, Stephen A., is if there's a threat of contagion. If the medical experts say you can't play this game because we're going to transmit the disease, fine, I get it. Postpone. Other than that, you play the game and be, you know, come what may.
Max, I'm not getting into the particulars in terms of, because I totally agree with you about the contagion part. I also agree with you from the standpoint that, look, you know, the players had an opportunity to have a bubble. They didn't want a bubble. Here's where we part ways, and I emphatically disagree with you. I'm thinking about the fans in this regard. Max, this is an extreme situation. There are alterations. There are exceptions that are made when extreme circumstances take place. They did not have a quarterback. According to folks in the NFL, the Broncos actually called to try to beg the NFL to allow their quality control coach to come onto the field and play quarterback for them because he knew the playbook. That's how desperate of a situation it was. So you are the New Orleans Saints, and you walk into a game playing against a team that literally, not figuratively, literally has no quarterback. There's nobody to play the position. I would have rather had them, they'd be made to forfeit the game than be subjected to that kind of stuff. Because again, you're playing, you still got defensive players, you're still playing a football game. It's still a violent sport. Somebody could ultimately go out there, get themselves hurt, et cetera, et cetera. I understand this kind of stuff comes with it. I get it. But I'm saying that there are extreme circumstances that could take place at a time where you're literally looking at a game and saying, we're really going to play this game. You have a situation where no quarterback was available. And when I heard the news Saturday night, Max, no quarterbacks are available for the Denver Broncos, you know what I actually thought about and tried to speak to the NFL about, but I couldn't get anybody on the phone over the weekend? I actually think that it's gotten to a point where the NFL should halt the season for 2 weeks so everybody could get their ducks in a row, everybody could get their act together, and then come back after that two-week hiatus and have a bubble kind of atmosphere in their respective cities.
Now you're talking.
And just enforce it for the last month to 6 weeks. That's how bad it was Saturday. You can't, to me, you're cheating the fans, even though there weren't any in attendance. They're watching on TV. When you tell a football team to show up without a damn quarterback, that's extreme.
I didn't anticipate that happening.
Stephen A., I think that's a good... If they come back in a bubble, then I agree with you. Because now they've had enough time. You brought this up last week. There's enough time. Okay, you guys didn't have to bubble up and be away from your families for that amount of time. But for a shorter time frame, they did it in the NBA. They did it in Major League Baseball in the playoffs. I'm with that. I support that idea if they come back in a bubble. Otherwise, no, because it's just going to get worse. It's not getting better. It's getting worse. So what's 2 weeks going to do? There are going to be more outbreaks. So I love your idea of a two-week hiatus followed by a bubble and finish the season that way if you can get the players to agree. But as far as this game went, you talk about they had to play without a quarterback. Why would that be? Why did they have to play without a quarterback? Could it be because the quarterbacks weren't wearing masks and socially distancing? Because that seems to be the reason for which they apologized, right? So hold on. Now we know that it's a pandemic. We know it's contagious. We know the best way to fight it is socially distance. Wear a mask. Mask is probably number one, according to the data, right? So they let it slip. Then they didn't have a quarterback. What should happen after that? One of two options. Forfeit the game, take the L, or play the game, you risk the injury, and you take the L. They opted to play the game. But either way, the other team should not be punished for their lack of, which I kept hearing before the season, personal responsibility. They didn't take it, they lose. The bubble idea, Stephen A., I'm on board. Not. 2 weeks in a bubble, I'm on
I'm
board.
I'm certainly not an advocate of those who followed protocol and were ready to play suffering. I get that part. All I'm saying is that there are millions of fans that are watching. We actually do matter too, okay? Even though we're not in attendance, we're watching on our television sets. And if you're living in the city of Denver or you're anywhere in the nation and you're a Denver Broncos fan and you don't have a quarterback, to me, you're not qualified to play the game, period. You should. To me, there's not a game that should take place. If the quarterback position is a position that you're supposed to have fulfilled, obviously so, and you don't have any of your dudes eligible to play, none of them, to me, you shouldn't be playing the game.
So what's the difference? Tell me what the difference is between what happened to the Broncos. Quarterbacks don't wear a mask. They wind up with COVID. They don't have quarterbacks to field, right? And let's say a team where the quarterbacks were riding a motorcycle or something like that, and there was an accident and they all got hurt. They're on the IR. What's the difference? We know that there is a physical danger and that you need to take certain steps to protect yourself and others, and they didn't, and as a result, they weren't available to play. If they had an accident from careless behavior and weren't available to play, we wouldn't talk about postponing the game. They'd have to play without a quarterback, and that's what happened.
Yeah, but you're talking about what we wouldn't talk about. You're not talking about my position, because my position is if you're a football team and you don't have a quarterback, not a quarterback, you don't need to be playing that game. I don't give a damn whether it's a motorcycle accident or COVID-19. If you don't have a quarterback that's been on a roster that's eligible to play, you shouldn't be playing the game, because that's a prime position in a sport of football, period. You don't have a quarterback, you shouldn't be playing.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles sales on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's lectricebikes.com. Jalen Hurts was taken by Philly in the second round of the draft. He got reps with the first team for the first time last week in practice. But Carson Wentz is supposed to start big Monday Night Football game versus the Hawks. Dan Orlovsky is here. But Max, I'm starting with you. Tell me this. Should Hurts get the nod over Wentz?
Should have gotten the nod a month ago. And then maybe it would have helped Wentz by now. Like, sure, do it now. I think it's probably too late, but you might as well try. Look, you have to decide for yourself, Stephen A., especially you, Orlovsky. You have to decide for yourself. Was I making it up at the end of last year? Remember at the end of last year when I started pointing out that Wentz was regressing? Was I making it up and then coincidentally the regression continued this year even as people continued to deny it until it hit a point where it was undeniable? And I just got lucky? Why would I target Carson Wentz, of all people, who I thought was the MVP until he got hurt in 2017? No, I was seeing things last year that told me this dude is heading in the wrong direction, and worse, he's being praised for it. He's not having to look in the mirror and fix the things that are going wrong. He's being told that he's excellent, and he's the reason the Eagles are winning. And when they're losing, when he's turning it over, it's not his fault. And that has continued this year. That's why they drafted a quarterback in the second round when Wentz was like 26 years old. Let's be realistic, guys. I'm sure they didn't want to start Jalen Hurts yet. He's not ready, I'm sure. But it's not about giving yourself the best chance to win a game you're going to lose anyway. It's about trying your best to fix Carson Wentz and holding him accountable to the team. He must be held accountable. Stephen A., he says, that's just the way we do things around here, Wentz said. Because a couple weeks ago, he didn't feel nervous. I hope he's feeling nervous now. Maybe he'll start to address the many problems he's presenting as a quarterback.
I disagree with you. And I disagree with you for a multitude of reasons. Number one, I'm thinking about the receiving corps he has available to him. Not that impressive. Obviously, one of his primary targets, Zach Ertz, has been out. I'm also thinking about the fact that I'm looking at Doug Peterson and how this man has regressed. Carson Wentz has clearly regressed. Nobody's arguing with you about that. But I'm looking at Doug Peterson and what the hell are you doing? Just like I'm pointing the finger at Bruce Arians and Todd Bowles in yesterday's case because you're asking Tom Brady to cover up for a bunch of deficiencies with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You know, you might be asking Carson Wentz to do the same to a lesser degree with Philadelphia, and I don't think they can be absolved. Here's the ultimate indictment against Doug Peterson in my estimation and why I'm not a proponent of Hurt starting over Wentz tonight. You've got guys in Miles Sanders and Boston Scott. They have averaged less than 16 carries combined a game this season. Miles Scott, I think he's averaging about 4.8 yards a carry. Boston Scott, I'm sorry, is averaging over 5 yards a carry. These guys are running the football effectively enough, and you won't give them the damn football. Maybe if you ran the football a little bit more, you wouldn't be asking Carson Wentz to do so much, and as a result, he wouldn't be getting himself in so much trouble trying to play hero ball. So that's definitely something that needs to be addressed. And last but not least, here's the thing. Jalen Hurts is a phenomenal athlete. We saw what he did at Alabama. We saw what he did at Oklahoma. We know that the brother's a stud athlete that has a lot of promise, and we wish him nothing but the best. But we also know, we saw why he got pulled from halftime of that national championship game. We know why his career has struggled. We know what the question mark about him has been. His ability to throw the football. Clearly, Doug Peterson does not believe in him. Because Doug Peterson is on the record, Max, saying the other day, you know what? If you're going to sit up there and make that move, you're throwing away the season. You're conceding that you're going to lose, and that's not what we want to do here. So that tells you all you need to know about his belief in Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts has got to know that. And so if you go out on the field knowing that a coach, a head coach, was a bit compromised or a bit disgruntled about letting you be in that role, and then you go out there and you don't perform, it could mess with your confidence moving forward. Why do that for this season? Why do that for this season? Carson Wentz made his bed, complete 58% of his passes, 14 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. Let him lie in it.
Let him lie in it and let him find a way to work his way out of this season, because they've got too many problems to fix. And that way you buy Jalen Hurts more time so you could build this confidence instead of jeopardizing it. That's my take.
Yeah, starting Jalen Hurts tonight would be absolutely ridiculous. It would be the wrong decision. Carson Wentz is your starter. You can still win this division. As far-fetched as you think it is, and now with Daniel Jones's potential injury, you are the only team in the division that has your starting quarterback healthy. The next 4 weeks are brutal. The only way that you will survive the next 4 weeks is Carson Wentz playing really good football. It's not going to be Jalen Hurts. Max, I find it absolutely fascinating that you can go back to last year in a stretch over the last, I think, 7 or 8 games when Carson Wentz throws something like 18 touchdowns and 4 interceptions and go, he's regressing. What did your trained quarterback eye show you in the middle of a 7-game stretch where he throws for 18 touchdowns and 4 picks with absolutely no one at receiver? I would love to know how you saw regression in that. I'm fascinated by that.
What's amazing, I'm happy to answer that question. What's amazing to me is that you'd want to do that to yourself. You're one of the best I've ever heard breaking down this kind of stuff, and you're so dug in. I will tell you, he played the NFC East at the end of the season like 4 times. I saw every other sorry, sad sack, backup quarterback and rookie play better against all the teams that he was beating heroically, according to you, when he was turning the ball over on 3rd down consistently in the 4th quarter,
Max.
Making bad decisions.
4.
He was fumbling the ball too, Dan. If I'm talking about regression last year, and I'm alarmed by what I see, and then again in the beginning of this year, and you're denying it the whole time, so you must have thought he was cruising at a very high altitude, and then suddenly he fell off a cliff? Is that what you're arguing? Because you admit he stinks now. So I'm saying it's been a long, gradual process from the middle of last year.
No.
And you're claiming, no, Max, you've been ridiculous the whole time.
Correct.
It just suddenly happened. I woke up this morning and Wentz is no good.
Here's the difference. I never pinpoint of quarterback's the greatest thing ever, no one else matters, or quarterback's the worst thing ever, no one else matters. I have said he's not playing good this year, and there's a ton of variables that are adding to why he's not playing well. Let's go to the Jalen Hurts conversation. You don't start Jalen Hurts. If you watch Jalen Hurts, because I called college football last year for ESPN, had a couple Oklahoma games, really great kid and a really good athlete and developing as a quarterback. But the two really good defenses he played against last year were Baylor at the end of the year and LSU. It was ugly. It was ugly. 1 touchdown, 2 picks, had no passing game. Didn't play any preseason football. And now we think the best option is going to go, let's play Jalen Hurts. Because here's my thought process. If you're going to play Jalen Hurts, you have to get creative within your offense. It can't just be a traditional drop back passing game, which is a lot of what the Eagles do now. It has to be, we got to get creative. We got to use zone read. We got to run quarterback run. We haven't seen that out of Philly. You haven't shown me that you're willing to do that, that you have the capability to get super creative with your offense. So if you're going to take Jalen Hurts and place him in the same offensive scheme that you've been calling for Carson Wentz, that will not go well. You don't have the people. You're still going to be playing with the same skill position. This still will be the 10th offensive line in 11 games, the most in 33 years that a team in the NFL has ever had to use. So what do you got, Max?
It's not about this game. It's about the rest of Carson Wentz's career. It's about the Eagles franchise, Dan. Carson Wentz is standing up at press conference saying, that's the way we do things around here. No. You know what the worst thing for the Eagles would be? The worst thing for the Eagles. Carson Wentz has a big game. They win. Somehow they win the division this year, and he goes on thinking what he's doing is okay. That will end his career.
Max, why do you constantly want to change people?
It will end the Eagles franchise as a contender. The fact of the matter is, Wentz needs to do soul searching. He needs to play better football at this point, Dan.
He needs to play better football. He needs not to have a 10th offensive line in 11 games this year. They need to use Jalen Reagor better. They need to have an offense that's got skill players that are ready to be impactful players. They, you know what they need? To have a receiver take a short pass and go a long distance that we see a ton of other NFL teams do. They don't need to sit Carson Wentz to go, bad boy, better not turn the football over anymore. We're going to take your job. They don't need to lose the division to try to prove a point.
Carson Wentz is probably the worst starting quarterback right now in the league, but I don't believe he's actually that. I believe the things you're identifying are making him look that way. I think Carson Wentz is probably an average, low average quarterback if he had all the things you're talking about. That does not excuse everything going to hell.
You start Jalen Hurts and see what happens. You start Jalen Hurts.
Doesn't trust what he sees. Isn't
accurate. Why do you think he doesn't trust what he sees, Max?
Throws picks.
Why do you think he doesn't trust what he sees?
Everything's going wrong.
Why do you think he doesn't trust what he sees?
Why do you think they drafted a quarterback in the second round to run the Wildcat?
Why do you think he does not trust what he sees? Because they are not very talented on the outside. And he's heard for weeks and weeks and weeks, don't turn the football over. That's all we need you to do. It's called taking your stinger away from a quarterback. Let me tell you, if you play Jalen Hurts for the majority of a football game with the offensive line beat up as they are, this scheme and this skill position, it'll be way uglier than it's been this season.
Sure. Sure, that's right.
Hurts
isn't
ready.
That's not
the point. The Eagles took their stinger away, and I'm taking your voice away.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5X miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Packers beat the Bears 41-25. Chicago has now fallen below 500 after starting the season 5-1. First it was Mitchell Trubisky, then it was Nick Foles, then Trubisky again. So Stephen A., with that, I ask you this question. Did Matt Nagy's quarterback shuffle ruin the season for Chicago?
I believe he did. I believe he did. And the reason why is because they were 2-0. With Mitchell Trubisky as their quarterback. Then they had a third game of the season against Atlanta, which they ultimately won because Nick Foles came in and saved the day because Mitchell Trubisky did not look that great. And we understand that. But if you remember back at that time when they had elected to start him the very next game, I think it was against Indy, if I remember correctly. What I said then is what still holds true now. I said Nick Foles coming into a game late in the season and saving the day is different. When you ask him to be that guy, damn near from jump start, which means pretty early in the season, what you're going to do is jeopardize him. He's not going to have the durability necessary. He's going to get himself hurt. And in the meantime, you're going to just completely, Mitchell Trubisky's confidence is going to be shot. You're not going to be able to recover from this. And lo and behold, what has happened? Nick Foles proceeds to lose 5 of the next 7 games. He ultimately gets hurt. Mitchell Trubisky has to come back in. And yesterday, he looked like he had absolutely no confidence whatsoever. No, he doesn't make the greatest decisions, and he damn sure ain't the greatest passer. And we understand that, but we also know that we saw better things from him when he was moving those wheels, when he was running with the football. And the reason why I hold Matt Nagy so accountable for that, Matt Nagy was not just a quality control coach. He was a quarterback's coach in Kansas City. He was a quality control coach and an assistant in Philadelphia. He goes to Kansas City for 4 years. He's the quarterback's coach before he's the offensive coordinator in 2017. And then he gets the head coaching job with the Chicago Bears. Not only is offense supposed to be your thing, quarterbacks are supposed to be your thing. And somehow, some way, you've had ample time to at least put Mitchell Trubisky in a forward direction to have him looking better. And that has not been the case. So I think that he did ruin it with this move, and I think it's unfortunate. I'm not saying he should be fired or anything because this would be his first losing season if he were to have it. But I'm not high on the job that he has done this year with the Chicago Bears at all, or the job that he has done with Mitchell Trubisky, Max, period.
Nagy's move is not what cost the Bears their season. It ruined the Bears' season. Two things ruined the Bears' season. The Bears' offensive line is one, and the schedule was two. Let's go through this, Stephen A. Bears beat the Lions week one, bad team. The Giants, who back then especially weren't playing as well as they're playing recently, bad team. That's two wins. As you said, Foles had to come in to get by the Falcons. Also, not a good team. These are all teams with losing records. And then Foles continues, and now they're playing the Colts. Colts are a very good team, and the Bears lose. But Foles helps them beat the Bucs, the heavily favored Bucs in the game that Brady forgot the downs. Foles threw the pass his team needed him to throw to get to field goal range. They kicked the field goal. They go ahead. Brady failed to do the same thing, right? Okay, the first time they met since Foles beat him in the Super Bowl. Now the next game, the Panthers. What happens? The Bears win. The Panthers, not a very good team. So far, whether the quarterback is Trubisky or Foles, they beat the bad teams, and they have one win against a good team authored by Nick Foles, okay? Now what happens? They play the Rams. They got pushed all around up front. They lost. Then the Saints. They lost by a field goal. Then the Titans. These are all excellent teams, and they lost. By the way, they were close competitive games, but they lost. No offensive line. Foles couldn't overcome it. Neither could Trubisky. I don't think it would have mattered who was quarterback, but Foles at least gave them a better chance. Then Foles got hurt in the Vikings game, which they lost. And now we see Trubisky against the Packers lost just like Foles would have lost to the Packers. So without an offensive line, they weren't going to be very good. They have an awful offensive line. They weren't going to be very good. But what looked early like maybe they're better than they were was schedule. The only quarterback between the two to beat a good team was Nick Foles. He still gave them their best chance to win, even though he wasn't mobile and it was a bad line. And the fact that he got hurt, yep, that could happen behind a bad offensive line. Could have happened to Trubisky, too.
You do not put an immobile quarterback behind a bad offensive line when the reason you brought him there was to be ready as the season waned because you knew that your defense was elite enough that you'd have a good shot not only at the postseason, but making noise in the postseason, particularly when you're finding a way to win football games. I have no problem with him taking Trubisky out of the game against the Atlanta Falcons and bringing Nick Foles in to win that third game of the season, which left them at 3-0. But you put Mitchell Trubisky back in, and if you got to make musical chairs with it where you bring Nick Foles in for a fourth quarter, whatever, to save the day for a few weeks, you do that. But you use Mitchell Trubisky as much as you possibly can because you want to give him every opportunity to elevate because you don't trust that Nick Foles is going to stay healthy because his history has proven that that's going to be an issue for him, not to mention the fact that you have a bad offensive line. That's where I'm coming from with that and to consider and to see the regression of a Mitchell Trubisky when not only being an offensive coordinator and having an offensive background is what you have in Matt Nagy, but to play for, a coach 4 years as a quarterback's coach and to watch this kid continue to regress, I think it's unfortunate and I think it's on Nagy.
Well, look, the Bears are 5-6, right? So when you say it's not that your points are wrong, you're talking about what would optimizing strategy look like for the Bears. You bring Nick Foles in a game or two if you need to try to win the game, a game on the line, or if Trubisky's not playing well. And then toward the end of the season, if you're in striking distance, you bring in Foles because there are fewer chances for him to get hurt. Stephen A., it wouldn't have mattered. Was Nick Foles going to beat the Packers last night, a healthy Nick Foles? No, they were going to lose to the Packers. The only difference, like, yes, Foles would be healthy now, but Trubisky would have lost to all the same teams. The only difference is they wouldn't have beaten the Bucs. They'd be a game worse than they are. So it's not that you're wrong in terms of optimizing strategy or maybe don't put an immobile quarterback behind a bad offensive line. The point is that's not what ruined the season. The fact that they didn't have an offensive line and that their schedule got tough ruined the season.
Well, Max, didn't you just finish saying that Nick Foles gives them the best chance to win? I didn't know. I wasn't aware that you're just going to automatically concede that if Nick Foles is in the lineup, they're going to lose the game anyway. And if that's how you feel and you place such value with Nick Foles, why put him in that situation since you knew they were going to lose?
Well, I'll tell you this right now. It's not like they lost by a field goal. Realize, when Nick Foles was losing games, it was by a field goal it was, well, let me see, the Panthers by a touch, they beat by a touchdown. The Rams, they lost by a couple touchdowns. The Saints, they lost by a field goal. The Titans, they lost by a touchdown. The Vikings, where he got hurt, was under a touchdown, two field goals, right? They lost to the Packers 41-25. Nick Foles wasn't going to make the difference in a 41-25 game. Nick Foles got them closer to winning than they would have been otherwise.
Since Nick Foles was in the lineup in week four, the Chicago Bears haven't scored more than 23 points in a game until last night. So it's their defense the reason why things were so close.
Right.
It wasn't because they were doing anything
That's
offensively.
Right. However, look at the results. The results say Nick Foles was actually better than Trubisky this year. There's not much to choose from there. You can't really tell behind that line anyway. But the fact is, are you saying if they would have played, done it your way, they'd have made it to the playoffs? They weren't making the playoffs this year behind that line.
Mm.
Then why bring Nick Foles?
Yeah. All I know is this. Chicago's a great city, a great sports town. They deserve better from the Bears and the Bulls. They need a quarterback, and we'll see what happens with the coaching situation there. We'll keep you up to date.